Welcome to episode 2 of Pharmacy Focus Financial Wellness. I'm Tim Ulbrich, your host, pharmacist, and co-founder of YFP Wealth, formerly Your Financial Pharmacist. One of the biggest mistakes that I see people making with money, no judgment, I made many of these mistakes myself, is trying to optimize the financial plan before they built a strong financial foundation. Right? Many of us, we want the perfect investment strategy. We want to know if we can retire earlier. Perhaps we're thinking about how might I do a backdoor Roth IRA or optimize my taxes? And these are all really, really good questions. But before any of that matters, we need to ask, is our financial foundation solid? That's what this episode is about. And it's intentionally a foundational topic and episode, because future episodes are going to build upon and rely upon, on some level, making sure that we have a strong financial foundation in place. And when we talk about financial foundations, when we talk about building a long-term financial plan or becoming financially well, it's not about perfection. We're all going to make financial mistakes along our journey. The financial plan is a lifelong journey. There is no arrived. And it's really about making progress and having clarity and learning from some of the mistakes that we inevitably are going to make along the way. Now, why does a strong financial foundation matter? Right? Some of these items we're going to talk about today, and specifically, I'm going to go through 5 components of building a strong financial foundation. In fact, these can be somewhat boring, but they're powerful, right? Because foundations create flexibility in our financial plan down the road. They can create resilience. We can weather a storm if we have a strong financial foundation. It certainly can help reduce stress and decision fatigue that can so often be present in one's financial plan. Because if we look towards optimization, if we look towards some of the more shiny objects or the exciting parts of the financial plan, and we haven't put a strong financial foundation in place, there's going to be fragility there. There's going to be risk in that. And we certainly don't want to take too many steps backwards if we don't have to do that. Now, the way I like to think about this concept is an analogy of building a house, right? When we build a house, we build that foundation first. Later on, we're certainly not only going to build the house, but we're going to probably add on to the house. We might remodel the house at some point. We're certainly going to paint. We're going to decorate. We're going to make it our own. But those are all things that we want to do on ensuring that we've got a strong foundation in place for our house. We've got cracks in that foundation in a home. That's going to create some serious headaches later. I coach my boys' basketball, and I also think about this concept in a similar way as it relates to basketball fundamentals, right? A lot of the kids, you know, especially at the younger ages, they watch kids in the NBA. Everyone wants to be Steph Curry. They're trying to shoot threes. They don't have the right shooting form. And we've got to build the basketball fundamentals in place, proper shooting form, proper foot placement, proper footwork, so that as they get bigger, as they get stronger, we can ensure that we can add the more complicated skills in the future. Now, the good news here is that most pharmacists already have the income potential to build wealth. The question here that I'm posing on this episode is, do we have the foundation in place to really support the opportunity that that good income is going to provide to our long-term financial plan? So let's transition and talk about the makeup of a strong financial foundation. And specifically, I'm going to walk through 5 different areas. Think of this as a checklist of 5 different areas that we can together build a strong financial foundation for our own plan. Number one, and there's a reason why this is number one, is having a plan. Here I'm talking about a spending plan. You can call it a budget. You can call it a cash flow strategy. I don't care what we call it. But any financial goal that we want to achieve, right? Whether that's saving and investing for retirement, maybe that's for a large purchase, could be saving for kids' college, could be buying a car, could be buying an investment property, could be paying down debt, could be saving for a vacation or an experience, right? Any financial goal that we have, is dependent upon, on some level, living off of less than we make and carving out the difference and assigning it to the goals that we have determined to be most important. The financial plan is that simple and that hard, right? To stay disciplined with that over the long run. And so this first step of having a plan or a budget or a cash flow strategy, again, whatever we want to call it, it's all about knowing where our money is going and intentionally directing it to the areas that mean the most to us and to our financial plan. Now, I try to stay away from the word budget because that can feel restrictive. I like to think about this as an intentional spending plan or a cash flow strategy, because awareness of where our dollars are going and then directing them to where we want them to go rather than reacting to where the money has gone, that really creates not only on some level a sense of control, but also a sense of confidence and empowerment that we are directing our dollars to the place that we have determined to be most important. Now, a couple questions here I want you to think about, right? Why do so many high earners? I felt this as myself early in my career. Why do so many high earners like pharmacists, like other healthcare professionals, physicians, et cetera, still feel financially stressed? What are some ways that we can help track our spending or hopefully on some level create some margin to be able to achieve the things that we want to achieve? You know, the obvious answer here would be lifestyle inflation, right? And easier said than done, we're living at a point in time of just rising costs of goods inflation, housing costs are up, expenses for activities and experiences and travel, all of it is just frankly expensive. And yes, pharmacists make a good income. Objectively speaking, the median income for pharmacists currently, as reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is in the mid-130s. That's a good income, right? If we look at the average household income in the United States, family of four, that's in the low 80s. So objectively speaking, pharmacists do make a good income. But because of cost of livings being higher, because of inflation, because of lifestyle inflation, these are the things where we can find ourselves in a position where we're making a good income, but don't necessarily feel like we're making a whole lot of financial progress. And that's what this first step is really all about, getting more intentional. Now, I would really encourage you, whatever system you decide to employ, I'm not here to tell you what budgeting system you should use. There's a wide range of those that are more restrictive, like a zero-based budget, those that are less restrictive, like a no-budget budget, where you essentially, you know, think about your goals and your known expenses, and then you just don't outspend what's remaining. And there's systems in between, like the 50-30-20 budget that says, hey, about 50% of your income should go towards your essential expenses, about 30% towards your discretionary expenses, and then about 20% towards things like savings and debt. Right. And of course, there's a lot of variations of that. But whatever system you decide to use, it's an important reminder that we need to start with awareness, not guilt, especially if we're trying to right the ship of maybe where we've been with the financial plan thus far. And so I would encourage you to start with just by observing and tracking your spending for 30 days without change, without judgment, just understanding where the dollars are going, growing an awareness of where those dollars are going, and then we can begin to implement a system and framework for how we're going to direct that going forward. Number two on our list of five financial foundations is the emergency fund or the rainy day fund. And an emergency fund is all about giving us flexibility, peace of mind, and the confidence to know not if, but when an emergency strikes our financial plan, we're prepared for it and it doesn't derail progress on other goals that we're working towards achieve. So even for high income earners, such as pharmacists, we want to have a good emergency fund in place. Generally speaking, that's going to be 3 to 6 times our essential expenses. So think housing, food, transportation, clothing, minimum debt payments, insurance payments, we'd probably throw in there as well. 3 to 6 times those monthly essential expenses is our target for an emergency fund. Now, is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it perhaps even more? It really depends. It depends on several factors, such as do we have one income in the household, two incomes in the household? What type of expenses are we accounting for with that emergency fund being able to replace? You know, for those that are self-employed, we typically err on the higher side, if not even further than 6 months. And what other goals are we working towards, right? So if we have high interest revolving credit card debt that's accruing month after month at 20%+, then we're likely going to err on the lower side while we work towards some of that higher interest rate debt. Now, generally speaking, we'd like to keep these funds in a place that is liquid and accessible, but is earning a little bit more interest than what we're going to get in our checking account. So here we're thinking a high yield savings account, maybe a money market account are probably the two most common things. And another thing we're talking about here is what is an emergency, right? Because there are some things that we can plan for. If we think about car maintenance issues, if we think about home repair things that might come up, such as AC repair or roof replacement or hot water tank, right? These are things that we can prepare for. And ideally we have funds set aside for separately. So these are things that are really true emergencies that we can't anticipate for. And certainly there's a financial aspect here that we don't want to take on additional debt or pull from other types of savings. But there's also an emotional aspect here that we can be able to know that we've got these funds set aside. Again, not if, but when an emergency strikes, and it allows us to move forward confidently in other parts of our financial plan. So again, general 3 to 6 times are essential expenses. Everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different, but there's some real common examples that I see where this comes into play. Not only those emergencies, but also job transitions. You know, could be somebody that wants to extend a family leave that maybe that wasn't the initial goal that was planned for. Someone that kind of hits a wall with burnout in their career and they want to take a pause. Again, that transition period where it gives them a little bit more flexibility. So an emergency fund can serve multiple purposes. And it's not necessarily there to make money. If we can earn a little bit of interest in a high yield savings account or money market account, that's great. But it's there to give us options, right? It's there to give us options and to make sure that we can progress with the rest of our financial plan. Number three on our list of 5 financial foundations is a debt repayment plan. Now, notice I did not say that in order to have a strong financial foundation, you need to be debt free. For some people, that may be the goal. And if it is, that's certainly okay. But for others, depending on the type of debt, depending on how they emotionally feel towards the debt, depending on other goals that they have, it may not necessarily be that they have a goal to short-term be debt-free, right? Everyone's going to have a different tolerance, a different risk tolerance, and as well as an emotional tolerance towards how they're going to handle debt. Because at the end of the day, there are lots of different types of debt, and we probably have some feelings towards that debt, probably based on how we grew up and how money was handled, how debt was handled specifically. But when we think about high interest rate revolving consumer debt, like credit card debt versus a student loan debt versus a mortgage versus a car loan, right? We can see the nuances that will be present, not only in terms of interest rate or the terms, but just how we emotionally feel of how that debt might be used in the financial plan. So some questions here to think about, right? How are you going to handle your debt, whatever debt it is, in the context of other goals that you're working towards? Because we know that debt doesn't live in a silo. One of the most common questions I get is, should I invest while I'm trying to pay off my debt? And the answer is, it depends, right? It depends on a lot of things. What type of debt are we talking about? What's the interest rate on that debt? What's the repayment terms on that debt? How do you feel about that debt? What else is going on in terms of our investing or savings plan? Are we ahead? Are we on track? Are we behind? Right? All of these questions are going to help us determine how we're going to prioritize our debt repayment in the context of other financial goals. So what I am suggesting here is that it's about having a plan that has been intentionally thought out and considers not only that specific debt, but other debts that you might have, as well as other parts of the financial plan that we're working towards. So do we have an intentional plan for how we're eventually going to repay that debt, or perhaps even optimize that debt repayment? Thinking of something like a public service loan forgiveness strategy for those that are pursuing student loan forgiveness. So, you know, I personally have my own feelings around debt. I'm not here to tell you how you should feel about your debt, but it's something that we need to consider. We need to evaluate and then ultimately look at the rest of the financial plan and the rest of the financial puzzle and determine for your specific debt, what's the repayment plan in the context of the broader goals. All right, number 4 on our list is getting started with investing. And ideally, we're going to begin to automate our investing so that we can take advantage of the time value of money and compound interest. Now, we know that having our dollars saved and invested for the long term, we've all been taught this at one point of time, right? Time in the market, consistently investing over a long period of time is going to yield us positive benefits, at least based on historically what has happened with those that have invested money. That's the importance. What Albert Einstein was talking about when he said compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it, right? We just talked about the pays it side of the equation with the debt repayment. So the challenge here is, can we invest as consistently and early as possible? Now, there are a lot of complexities and nuances in how we might do this. There's all different types of accounts that we need to consider. You know, we thought the alphabet soup of pharmacy was bad. The alphabet soup of investing is worse, right? We have 401ks, we have 403bs, we have 457s, we have IRAs, both traditional Roth versions of those. We have HSAs, right? We have brokerage accounts. There are so many different avenues and vehicles in how we're going to consider doing this. And there is certainly time that we need to spend in understanding that. But the mistake we want to avoid here, as we talk about the foundations, is avoiding getting started or consistently getting started, because all of the complexities and all the nuances can be paralyzing if we're not careful. So we need to just get going here, right? And we need to automate this, and we can certainly build in complexity over time. So where do we typically start? Well, most often, we're going to start inside of an employer-sponsored retirement plan. These would be 401ks for those that work for a for-profit, 403bs for those that work for a nonprofit, TSPs for those that work for the federal government. And ideally, our employer here is going to offer some type of match, right? So you put in, let's say, 3%, and they're going to put in 3% or some equivalent. Every employer situation, of course, being different. Now, there are some situations where we may not want to prioritize that as our first option, right? Thinking of folks that might be in a short-term job situation where their employer match isn't vested, meaning you're not going to get that employer contribution if you leave at a certain point of time. So we want to be strategic and intentional here, but assuming that we are going to be in that employment situation for at least the period of time to get our dollars vested by our employer, usually this is a good place that we want to get started. Now, we need to be thinking about different types of accounts here, right? There are Roth accounts that an employer plan will offer. There are traditional accounts, not to be confused with Roth IRAs or traditional IRAs, completely separate buckets. I standing for individual with an individual retirement arrangement. But with a Roth or traditional, anytime you hear Roth, we want to be thinking post-tax, meaning that we're putting dollars into the account after they have already been taxed. They're going to be growing and hopefully compounding over time tax-free. And then when we go to pull that money out in retirement at the age of 59 and a half or greater, at that point, there's no more tax to be paid. We've already paid taxes on that account when we contributed to begin with. Traditional, anytime you hear traditional, think pre-tax, meaning that we're going to contribute those dollars pre-tax. We're not paying tax today. They're going to grow, hopefully compound over time. And then when we go to pull them out in retirement at the age of 59 and a half or greater without incurring a penalty for that withdrawal, at that point, we're going to be paying taxes. That bill comes due, right? Both federal and state income tax, depending on where you live. So we've got employer-sponsored accounts. Again, those 401ks, the 403bs, the TSPs. We've got IRAs, which are individual retirement arrangements, both traditional and Roth versions there. Some nuances to consider. We've got health savings accounts or HSAs, which have a unique triple tax benefit, kind of the best of both worlds of a traditional and a Roth account. And then, of course, there's brokerage or custodian types of investment accounts that are independent of any type of retirement arrangement, which affords some specific flexibility and might be a priority, especially for those that are thinking some type of early retirement. So a lot to consider here, right? This isn't meant to be an investing overview, but the foundation piece we're talking about is getting started with investing. Getting started with investing. And a big part of this is going to be learning so that we can grow in our strategy and understanding over time. Now, what we have consistently seen, what I've seen in my own plan, is that wealth building is usually less about finding that perfect investment and more about consistently investing over a long period of time. And in fact, that can be quite boring. And finally, number five on our list of five financial foundations is wealth protection. Wealth protection. So this would include things like long-term disability insurance coverage, income protection, income insurance for pharmacists, term life insurance, which would really address, you know, for those that have significant others, partners, spouses, dependents who rely on part or in full of their income. So this would be an income replacement in the event of a premature death. Obviously, looking at the health insurance, estate planning, do we have the right documents in place in terms of how our assets would be transferred and financial decisions that are made, beneficiary designations on policies, perhaps an umbrella coverage policy. So looking at the various aspects of the insurance plan and the estate planning process. You know, I think this is one area, just thinking from my own personal experience, where it's not very exciting to think about any one of these, right? And this can lead to gaps. It can lead to unnecessary delays in coverage. And as we're doing all the other work that we talked about to build a strong foundation, we want to make sure that we're also looking at these areas that could be potentially catastrophic to the financial plan. Each one of these topics warrants specific discussion, whether that be disability insurance coverage. What does our employer provide? What other types of additional coverage may we need? What's the target income replacement goal? Same thing with anything like term life insurance and looking at the estate planning aspects of the financial plan as well. So again, we're doing this work to save and invest for the future, build a strong foundation with a debt repayment plan, making sure we have a good rainy day fund. We've got a good system in place. So we've got to also think about protecting what we're building along the way. So some practical takeaways here would be looking at things like reviewing our beneficiary designations on our policies, making sure we evaluate our insurance needs, specifically on the long-term disability, on the term life insurance. What does our employer provide? What types of additional coverage would be needed? Looking at or updating or putting in place, if we don't already have, our estate planning documents and then other types of property and casualty insurance policies as well to look at the coverage that we have and how we can optimize that or update that over time. So as we begin to wrap up this episode and covered five foundations, right? Not the end by any means, but we're beginning to build the foundation upon which the rest of our financial plan can hopefully grow and thrive. One of the things that we see is this takes time, right? Financial wellness is not built overnight. And some of you listening might hear pieces or aspects of this and be thinking, I need to start, right? I need to start building some of these foundations. Others might be thinking, hey, I put some pieces in place, but I need to clean up a few things. And others are listening and thinking, hey, I've done all of this, been there, done that, and I'm ready for the next level. And any one of these is okay, right? We're all on our own individual plan and journey. And so as we look ahead towards future episodes, we're going to build on this understanding that we've got a solid foundation in place. So we're going to be talking about things like investing strategies, retirement income, tax strategies, asset location. How do we design this financial plan to support the rich life that we're intending and working towards, living towards? We'll talk about financial independence. What does that mean? And how do we build a plan to support that? Legacy planning, all topics we're going to address on upcoming episodes. And so as we begin to wrap up, first and foremost, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to listen to this episode of the Pharmacy Focus Financial Wellness Podcast. And if the conversation resonated with you today, do us a favor. If you could subscribe to the show, leave a rating and review and share it with a friend or colleague. It really helps more pharmacists discover the show and join us on this journey towards living a rich life today and tomorrow. And if this episode sparked a question about your own financial plan, career journey, retirement goals, or what living a rich life means to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out at info@yfpwealth.com with questions, with feedback, with ideas for future episodes. And you can also learn more about the fee-only comprehensive financial planning services that we offer at YFP Wealth for pharmacists nationwide by visiting yfpwealth.com. And finally, an important reminder that the content in this podcast is provided to you for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide and should not be relied on for investment or any other advice. Information in the podcast and any corresponding material should not be construed as a solicitation or offer to buy or sell any investment or related financial products. For more information on this, you can visit yfbwealth.com/disclaimer. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your week.